is United States versus Slaughter. Mr. Hunter.
Good morning, Your Honor. Good morning, Counsel. May it please the Court. Judge, in this case, I believe Judge Zagel had an incomplete understanding of the different security arrangements in banks in this country, and he went outside the record to draw a conclusion that led him to believe that a threat of death would always be foreseeable in a bank robbery. And I think that's a mistake for two reasons. First, because he went outside the record and because the government didn't present any evidence with regard to the security arrangements in the bank that was robbed in this case, I think he came up with an incomplete understanding, and that led him to the second error, to rule that threats of death are inherently foreseeable in bank robberies. That second part, I think, is a very important mistake, because I think it would lead to down the road to absurd situations in which the fact of a specific case would suggest that a threat of death is not foreseeable, but because of the holding of an inherent foreseeability, it wouldn't matter. For example, if a bank robber and a co-defendant robbed 100 banks and they used force, physical force, rather than a threat of death, and then on the 101st, the person who went into the bank used the threat of death, a reasonable person who's driving the getaway car would still conclude, oh, he went in and he used force like we did all those other times. But if you find it inherently foreseeable that the threat of death could be used in any bank robbery, then the facts of a particular case don't matter. And I think that that's not what the drafters of the sentencing guidelines had in mind, because they made the enhancement for a threat of death discretionary rather than mandatory. If you look at the particular facts in this case, I think they clearly suggest that a reasonable person would conclude that force was going to be used in the robbery of the bank rather than threat of death. The reason is because the robbery that had occurred a day or two previously, which was admittedly a bakery and not a bank, nevertheless, the method employed was clearly force rather than threat, because the co-defendant, Galanis, went into the bakery and then came running out a short time later with a cash register under his arm. So clearly, he didn't say, give me your cash register or I'll kill you, otherwise he just would have come out with some easily concealable bills. He said, it turns out he said something, but there was nothing to suggest that to Slaughter. What Slaughter would have concluded reasonably is that Galanis went into the bakery, snatched the cash register off the counter, and ran back out. A couple of days later, when they do the bank robbery, it's reasonable for a person to conclude the same method is going to be employed. Now, Judge Zagel seemed to think that the security measures that are generally known in banks, I'm not quoting exactly, but he said something to the effect of that the general knowledge of security arrangements in banks would foreclose somebody going into a bank and taking money by force. And I don't think that's correct when you're robbing a bank that's contained in a grocery store. If I had it to do over again, in hindsight, I would have brought in my own evidence showing that what the security arrangements in the bank in question were like. Unfortunately, because the government, it seemed to me, wasn't going to present any evidence with regard to the security arrangements, I didn't feel I needed to do that, because it would be their burden and that I'd be assuming.
Mr. Hunter, was there evidence that Mr. Slaughter knew that the grocery store, the Jewel Osco, contained a bank, and that his co-defendant intended to rob the bank rather than the Jewel?
I believe that there was evidence that they were going to a bank rather than to just a grocery store. He knew that he was driving them to a bank. He had driven him 3 or 4 days earlier to a different bank, a similar bank, but in a different location, and he had gone in and come out without incident, and at that point my client wasn't aware that their bank had even been robbed, which is why he was never charged with that first robbery, though the co-defendant, Galanis, was.
Your client got 84 months, is that right?
I believe that's correct.
And what would he, what would be the maximum he could receive without the enhancement for death threat?
You have me on the maximum. The minimum would go down to 54 months.
Oh, yeah.
I'm always focused on minimum.
Well, I'd like to know what the maximum is. Is it anywhere in there, 84? You can, in rebuttal, you can.
Okay, thank you, Judge.
Let me ask you, there's no question that there was a death threat here.
No, no question.
No question. So why isn't it logical to infer that if these two guys go to rob a place together, and one stays out in the getaway car and the other one goes in, that they've discussed how it's going to be done?
Well, there was
and
that.
How we know when he went in, he said, give me the money or I'll shoot you or something.
Mm-hmm.
Lifted it up his jacket or something to imply that he had a weapon. Why isn't that enough?
Because in the record showed in this case that the sum total of conversation between my crack addicted client and his co-defendant was, is it legit? My client posed to Galanos. Galanos answered no. So he knew from the business with the cash register and that conversation that something, probably a robbery,
sure,
was going to occur.
I don't think he was a cash register repairman running out of that bakery. So he knows that they're robbing.
He knows they're robbing a bank, but there was no evidence, and in fact, I believe the record suggests that there never was any conversation with regard to the specifics. The only knowledge my client had of how this was going to occur would have been based on what he saw in the previous robbery, and I submit that that showed force was going to be employed rather than threat of death. Now, one of the cases, or the primary case that the government relies on in their argument that a threat of death would be inherent in bank robberies is Dorsey. I won't tell this court how Dorsey should be read since the author is on the panel, but my belief that they have misconstrued it. I don't think that any of the cases the government cited stand for the proposition that a threat of death is reasonably foreseeable in all bank robberies, and I would ask the court to so hold. I think that based on the facts that are in the record, the court should remand for resentencing without the two-point enhancement, but if the court's not so inclined, I would suggest in the alternative that they at least remand for an evidentiary hearing with regard to the security arrangements of the bank. Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court, counsel, my name is Daniel May, appearing on behalf of the United States. In answer to Judge Evans' questions about the sentencing guidelines, the defendant was found to be at an offense level of 23 with
Judge Kenia, sorry.
With a criminal history category of 5.
He's often confused as Judge Wood, I'm rarely.
I'm nervous here.
But I guess the bottom line is, what's the maximum under those circumstances?
Under those circumstances, it was 84 to 105 months.
And so he was sentenced at the very bottom of the sentencing guidelines with the enhancement?
With the enhancement, Judge.
And my question was, if the enhancement did not exist, what would it be his maximum sentence?
His maximum, the guideline range would be 70 to 87 months.
So the 84 is within the guideline range, even without the enhancement?
Correct, Judge.
Is there something about the fact that the target was a bank rather than a bakery that makes the threat of death more likely?
Judge, I think Judge Zagel, in his analysis and in his findings, came to that conclusion. He indicated and he analyzed that the previous day, the robbery to the bakery where the co-defendant went in, made a threat of death, but the store clerk did not comply. He therefore picked up the cash register, ran out to the awaiting car where the defendant's slaughter was in, got in, and they went. He then compared that to the situation where Judge Spiegel said that it's commonly understood that the structure of banks, that you're not going to have the type of snatch and grab in a bank. There's no cash registers for them to steal the money out of in that circumstance. And he said that they would have to be a threat, an oral threat or a passing of a note, and that based upon that and the facts of the case, he He said that it was inherently foreseeable that there would be an implicit threat of death in the bank robbery.
Let me tell you my problem, and maybe you can help me. It seems to me that Judge Zagel didn't engage in an individualized assessment of the facts that Atwater requires, and the government didn't offer statistics in the frequency of death threats in bank robbery.
Judge, as to Atwater, I believe Judge Posner was concerned that there was a factual misstatement by the district judge in that case, where the district judge said in the Atwater opinion, highlights the statement that he had never seen a bank robbery without a firearm. And that's what Judge Posner came to the conclusion, that there had to be a more discriminatory analysis. We believe that Judge Zagel did that in this case based upon the fact that there had been 3 days of consecutive robberies. The first day a bank robbery, the second day of robbery to the bakery, the third day to the robbery of this particular bank on June 1st. He had that information in the plea agreement. The defendant pled to both the bank robbery and to the robbery of the bakery. He knew there was going to be a robbery. He was told on the facts of the case where to park his car in the parking lot to make a getaway. And Judge Zagel, in addition to those facts known to him and his analysis, he applied the proper standard and said, we're not dealing here with the fact that it is implicit that it occurs in every, or inherent that it occurs in every case. His quote was, we're dealing here with probability or foreseeability only in this kind of a case, Judge, and wasn't reasonably foreseeable, and he applied that standard to come to the conclusion that in this type of a bank robbery, it's implicit that there will be an implicit threat of death.
But if that's the case, then wouldn't the threat of death have been taken into account in the bank robbery general guideline? If it's an inherent part of every crime, why isn't it in there?
Judge, he didn't say that in his analysis. He said that it's implicitly foreseeable that it would occur, not that it's inherent in every bank robbery. What's inherent in every bank robbery is one of the elements of the statute, which says that there's got to be a threat of force or violence or intimidation. That's an element of the offense. What Judge Zagel said, based upon his analysis, is that it's foreseeable that there will be a threat of death in a bank robbery, and that based upon the facts in this case, that is what he concluded, and that's why he presented or applied the enhancement. As to the statistics, Judge, that Judge Posner used in the Atwater case, it's an interesting concept, Judge, but again, we're dealing here with probabilities and what's foreseeable in light of not only the nature of the case, but also of the specific facts. We don't rely upon the Dorsey case for the specific proposition that it's inherently foreseeable or reasonably foreseeable that there is a threat of death. That case did not involve a threat of death issue. It involved the physical restraint in a robbery case. What we're saying, though, that a district court can consider the nature of the offense in making that determination and use that in his analysis, which is what Judge Zagel did in conjunction with the facts of this case. And for those reasons, we would, if there are no other questions, we would ask that the district court's sentence be affirmed. Thank you.
I'm just looking at Appendix 35 in Judge Zagel's remarks, and he says, he's looking at the government's position, and he says, what I think the position is that this defendant, even if he did not actually know, could judge by a reasonable man's standard, operate on the assumption that it is, given the physical layout and structure of banks in the United States, impossible or nearly impossible to have a robbery of a bank without some form of threat of death.
But Judge, at another point, at pages 10 to 11 of the sentencing transcript, he said it could have happened some other way. Sure, it could happen some other way, but we're talking about reasonable foreseeability. And it was based upon the reasonable foreseeability standard that Judge Zagel applied, the standard based upon the nature of the offense, the bank robbery, and the particular facts of this case.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hunter. You have 2 minutes, Mr. Hunter.
Thank you. I think that the Atwater case is particularly appropriate because I think that what the trial judge did in Atwater is also what Judge Zagel did here. And it's not just that there was a mistake of fact, as in Atwater, where the judge concluded that he'd never heard of a bank robbery without a gun, so there must be a gun must be foreseeable in all bank robberies, but also that that judge lacked sufficient facts to apply the enhancement. And I believe that Judge Zagel also lacked sufficient facts to apply the enhancement. There was nothing in the record that suggested that the threat of death was foreseeable in this case, and what facts were available suggested just the contrary. As an aside, let me apologize for getting the sentencing guideline completely wrong. It's 70 to 87 months. My client got 84 months, which is, if you change the enhancement, however, and remand for resentencing, I believe this will have an effect on his sentence. True, it's within the same range, but I think that the judge sentenced him to the minimum 84 months for a reason, and I'd sure like a chance to find that out.
Well, if he thought he deserved 84 months once, why wouldn't he think he deserved 84 months again?
I think he thought he deserved the minimum, and if the minimum goes down, I think the sentence will go down. I may be wrong, but I think the defendant deserves
it. He would certainly be within his authority to sentence him to 84 months.
Yes, he could, and I'm like Sisyphus, but I certainly hope that would make a difference.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking the case. The court appreciates your vigorous representation of your client. Thank you.